Hey, you. Yeah, you. Have you heard? 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes Network is an official sponsor of the SplatCon, the first ever Nickelodeon-themed fan convention. And you know what that means, right? You can get all the exclusive updates by listening to the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes podcast and subscribing to our channel right there in the Instagram DMs. But the best part is, you can show your support by using our discount code to grab your tickets for SplatCon taking place in Los Angeles on October 19th and 20th. We'll see you there.
And we're back. This is the 80s, 90s, 2000s Vibes, the podcast. I'm your host, Matt Corbin. As usual, here with the fellas, we got Jamar Lebo in a very special episode. Fellas, how y'all feeling today?
Man, go ahead. My bad. Y'all still thinking of that fucked up ass joke,
man. You know what? Considering all things, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling all right. I mean, we going to get into it, but it's like, dick on the shoulder, man. Oh, wait, I didn't curse in the first 15 seconds. We supposed to, you know, limit the cursing in the beginning. But yeah, penis on the shoulder, man, is out in full effect all over TikTok. I got like 1.5 million views. My niece then hit me up, cousins, uncles, people be like, hey, what's that Ethan dad on the football team? Them people hit me up. Yeah, like, so I just didn't want that to really be the main thing out there, but that's what's out there. And if y'all know, we talk about quiet on the set. We'll get into it though.
Man, Jamar,
what's up with y'all though, man? I'm just letting it roll off my shoulder, letting it roll. All that.
Today is my birthday, man. I turned 31. Hey. I went looking at some ads last night. Shout out to Onyx Houston, and I plan on looking at some more ads this weekend. I'm gonna keep it a stack. I'm just thankful to be alive. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate y'all. I appreciate the love. I'm just trying to have fun, man.
What do we do on birthdays? We reflect. How we did this year? How, like, we've been doing the last 30 minutes?
Another year closer to death.
That's a wild way to think about how true that is.
Hey,
you gotta get on it. Yeah.
Hey, we all gonna die, bro. I don't know about y'all, but that's how I deal with it. Mm-hmm. To me, I deal with it by just embracing it. Look, bro, you might as well go watch some girls shake some ass, cause you gonna die one day, bro. And you ain't gonna be able to look at no girl shake no ass, bro. So you better get it out of the way now, son. Think about it, bro.
You one of them high functioning brothers. I can tell the logic here makes sense. It's just hilarious.
No, bro, I mean, why not, son? I mean, bro, you might as well try to have fun now, bro, because, you know, everybody think they going to heaven. You know, everybody think hell just empty. So, you know, and the elevator might go up and down. I don't know yet. So, while I'm here, and I got another year on this earth, man, I'm going to enjoy, have fun. You know, they know me by name, and at this point, they know, I mean, I go there too much. During the pandemic, I was having strip club withdrawals.
Mm. I seen y'all had some drive through strip club down in Houston. I was like, y'all dragging it, but I respect.
Nah,
it.
Bro. But when you have, I had to look at myself in the mirror, and I was like, Jamar, do you have a problem?
Maybe.
Like, yeah, you having strip club withdrawals, bro. You tweaking that shit cool when you was in your early 20s, but my nigga, during the pandemic, I was 27, 26. So I'm like, all right, bro, it's time to shake this shit. So now I just go every once in a while. They know me by name. How's everything going? My favorite stripper quit. They kind of fucked my birthday up. But hey, episode 127, man.
My favorite, man. Huh?
I text them. I'm like, hey, my nigga, don't you think you should have alerted me?
Yeah,
I text her. It's crazy. I mean,
she's fine, bro. But she the homie. She cool. But hey, strippers are people too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you dropped the me at the end. I hear you.
What you say? Say it again.
I said she the homie. You just dropped the me at the end.
The homie. Yeah, yeah. That's the whole me.
Oh man, don't do it like that, man. Let's get into it, though, man. What's going on?
Oh, you know, before we get started, you know, I got to have my two cents to put in. So let me tell you about something that irritates me. mediocre talent on a meteoric rise, is it? What y'all expect? What y'all thought? Y'all thought when she was bending it over and patting her knees, she had a real voice behind them vocals, behind that crazy looking grill? Is it you? Is it me? Man, that girl Sexy Red opened her mouth and started singing the little drop on the Rich Baby Daddy song, and people lost their damn mind. I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody would put a voiceover over the video. Yes. It was messing with the audio. Somebody then replaced it with it, which it just sounded like a funny ass TikTok voice. It sounded like me. It sounded like me making fun of my girl Sexy Red. My girl. No, not my girl. But don't you ever fix your mouth to say that, girl. Just let the sample ride. So like I was saying, I don't like these no talent, mediocre talents on a mediocre rise. They bother me. And that's all I got to say on this episode of the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes podcast. Let's get it rolling, fellas. But she didn't sound crazy, though, right? She did sound crazy.
That was bad. That was Fergie at the old being bad. That was up there.
You know what frustrated me about Sexy Red? Bro, she's not, I swear, she's not ugly. It's the way she presents herself that makes her, because I hear a lot of people call her unattractive. No, she's not. It's the way she presents herself.
100%.
That's all it is, bro. She's not an ugly girl, bro. And that frustrates me, man. I just had to say that.
Yeah, she's a nice, slim chick. You know what I'm saying? You know, she could, it looked like she could, you know, wash up and get some acne stuff going a little bit, you know, little stuff like that. But, you know, that can be fixed. And usually when you get a little money, you start investing in the facial. Now, she got some facials. We don't know what kind of facial she getting, you know what I'm saying? She might be putting in some work with Aiden Ross and who else she done been linked to. Whoever she was on Instagram with. You know what I'm saying? They got some different kind of faces going on, but yeah, she's workable. She's workable.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna give her a chance to grow, get older, and evolve.
Yeah, but she seems like she's deaf. I'm be honest with you. Yes,
you can say what?
She seems like she's deaf. I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. I don't think most of them did. It's like, yeah, you like you said, rock out what you do. Don't sing no more. Fergie neither.
And do y'all see the other girl that did the national anthem? That was about a month ago, and she was 6 years old. Her parents never told her she couldn't really sing like that. Y'all see this?
I see that shit.
Yeah, man, she was. And
but even black parents gonna tell you when you can't sing. I know, right. But you need to focus on your schoolwork.
Hey, they gonna be harder on you than American Idol. You kidding me?
Thank you. I felt bad for her, but yeah, if you can't sing, if you a mediocre talent, just sit your mediocre or just, you know, just fall behind the track. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to be up in front of the track. You know what I'm saying? You can calm it down. You can lip sync. You can do all that. So just make sure you utilize the tools that are there for you to succeed. Sexy Red.
I just don't sing. Just rap.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever that is you do.
But the rest of it, she did all right. She did all right, man. And it looked like people was having fun at Rolling Loud. Y'all see Kanye? Well, let me not spoil the first topic, man. Go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, I'm happy you did say it, because I was going to say, speaking of people who may be mediocre singers as well, depending on who you ask, Kanye West.
He is there, yeah.
Fellas, obviously, like Lee Boy was getting into, Kanye West went viral this week because he pretty much said that over the last 20 years, whatever genre music it was, he was like, I created that. And Boosie was one of the first people who came out publicly and was like, you know, I talked, you know, to people in the trenches and pretty much spoke out about the type of music he makes. And Kanye was like, wipe me down, dropped in 2007. I'm not responsible for that. We got to laugh. But that aside, you know, his wife is outside, half naked. Both of them are sagging with the asses out. Fellas, what do y'all think about just Kanye in general right now? Because there's so much surrounding this brother.
Man, let me say this, bro. When I deal with Boosie, I talk about Boosie. I always start off by saying, I'm from Louisiana, born and raised. Much respect. I grew up on Boosie. With that being said, I'm gonna need for Boosie to evolve in his thinking. Who gives a fuck about who, what people in the projects listening to? Who goes to the studio and y'all artists, y'all tell me when y'all go in the studio, you're gonna be like, the project's gonna love this. Who says that?
Sounds hilarious. He said, yeah, like what?
Boosie is too old and too rich to still be thinking like that. Kanye, it's kind of you want the block, I want the world. Cause I'm like that. I'm from the hood. I don't give a fuck about no block or no hood. Y'all don't gotta fuck with me. That's like me being a local artist. I don't care. I want global. Kanye is a global icon. Boosie is just a southern hip hop legend.
I want to ask this, just not to cut you off, Jamal, but do you think anybody actually chooses to be a local artist?
Yes.
No, yes. That's what I was asking, because I feel like some people, I feel like maybe, but then the part is like, well, no, when I say choose, I mean, did you get stuck in and then you embrace it, or did you, from the rip?
It's a man, and Lee Boy, you can chime in. It's a mentality, bro. In my hometown, I produce too. So every once in a while, I go back to my hometown. And cats will come up to me, man, I want to start a podcast, Jamal. And I'll be like, okay, what type of podcast you want to start? And that's the first thing I ask. Oh, I want to do a Late Charles podcast. That's my hometown. I'm like, I'm not working with you.
No, no.
You want to start a what?
A Late Charles podcast, yeah.
Why would you do that? I want to put my city on. I say, look, man, this is how you know how you put your city on, bro? By being authentic and being yourself. And if you're that authentic and you're that entertaining, they're going to want to know where you come from. Don't make a podcast based off of the city, bro. Because I come from a very small city, 100,000 people, big crabs in a bucket. But they don't support nobody. They don't support each other. It's not going to work. And I'm not sponsoring no fucking Lay Charles podcast. So it's a and I say all that to say, bro, people in certain cities just have a mentality. It's certain people in certain hoods that ain't never left their side of town, bro. Why I don't local is offensive to me.
And I mean, I just love how Kanye, because usually he would argue, right? He just gave it up. He was like, "You're right, Boosie. I ain't make up no INDMP or none of that."
Yeah,
IND.
He hit Boosie with this.
He basically, I don't even know what that shit is, really. Like, you act like that. I mean, you had a hit, bro. But we talk about all of the likes, Kanye. We talk about Jesus walks, like you said, international smashes. That you know really changed the game. Whereas independent, you know what I'm saying, Wipe Me Down,
fire, classics, yeah. But I don't think something to an extent. Well, not Wipe Me Down, but some of the other ones are more culture.
Yeah, but
right, bro. If you go to my hometown, all my home state, they playing Boosie, but they playing a lot of Boosie old songs, but nobody else knows them fucking songs.
Right. I just like the Kanye, how advantageous how adventurous he went for it. He said, I made a Drake sound, I made a Future sound. Who else he said? I made up the Weeknd. So I make up the Weeknd. That's kind of wild.
He been saying Travis Scott been jocking.
See, I can see that. I think that's an easy comparison because it's like the grunge hip hop, you know what I'm saying? I'm singing but can't really sing type stuff. You know, Drake, I guess you could say the emo sound, but really it's only really Drake's first, his opening sound. I mean, ever since, I can't compare any of that to Kanye, but like the best I ever had, that do sound like some old Kanye, the sample Kanye, the old, we want the old Ye. But, you know, I mean, I just love Kanye. This is Kanye, Taki Kanye, just going for it. And, you know, we can appreciate him for that because this is how you know, this is how you really feel. You know, how he been really waiting to shit on some of these artists and make sure, you know, he's staking his claim to the entire hip hop and saying that he's the best. I like when he's talking that talk. So shout out to Kanye for doing that. But he was reaching on a couple of these artists. You ain't make a Future sound.
He might not have, but I was going to say, for the most part, I don't think he was really that wrong. When I really looked at some of the artists that was coming, I was like, bro, I'm not wrong. I'm gonna go back, right? And I remember specifically when I was listening to 808s and Heartbreak when Kanye West dropped. I was in middle school, and I remember people looking like, man, what you listen to this sad music for? Like, what you feeling? And I was like, I'm not feeling none of this. But the music was so hot, and then just I'm fast forward, Love Lockdown, I believe it was. They had Dance Crew on America's Best Dance Crew. So it was just one of those, now you see, like, it's way beyond just some sad music. But I say that to say that, yeah, Kid Cudi kind of got ushered in not too long after that time, the Drakes. Kanye already had like a catalog of music, so it's not to say that you coined all these people, but it's like in a way, it's like you.
What about Lupe? What about Lupe Fiasco?
Even Lupe, I think Lupe, for as strong as he was, and like I'm happy you mentioned because he's Chicago too. Him or Twista, I don't want to take nothing away from them, but what they did, I don't think was the same as Kanye because Kanye was more in the forefront. Like even now to this day, there's a lot of Kanye music that being like the wildest car commercials and just so much things. It's like, man, you never think, or even stuff that you might hear and be like, man, is that Kanye? You find out it ain't, but it sounds like him. It's like, I'm not saying, like I said, he made their style, but allowed it to grow, definitely.
All right, but what about Just Blaze?
No.
Yeah, he wilded with that one.
Wait, he said that he made up Just Blaze sound too?
If he did, he bugging. I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Oh, no, I brought him up because I believe that Kanye may have also been influenced by Just Blaze, just only to, you know, have some of those earlier Jay records, Rockefeller records. That may have been a sound that Blaze was kind of putting that they could mash together. But obviously Kanye, he did something different with the samples. Another one that I think he was kind of reaching with was Thug. He said Young Thug. You think I don't see no comparison between Young Thug music Kanye music.
Thug is kind of like on that cusp of the Migos, where in a way they allowed for some other stuff to grow when they came out.
The Migos, the Rich Homie Quans,
I don't see the Kanye influence really in Amigos. And Migos made up their own sound. I know he didn't say Migos.
Man, they made a sound. Migos are heavily influenced by 3-6 Mafia, more than Kanye, like meaning the way that they flow. Let me ask y'all this, and I don't want to compare them like music style wise, but not music wise at least. I feel like Kanye took a little bit of Pharrell and twisted it in his own way. I'm not talking about the music, bro. That's not what I'm talking about. To me, Pharrell was that first, I ain't gonna say weird, but
he was bending genres.
Different, and he was the first one to do it in hip hop. Because mm-hmm. he was skateboard P, the weird sign, like, bro, the way he dressed, like, I feel like Kanye took a bit of that and twisted it into his own himself. Me and Kanye came with the pink polos, the Pharrell, Kanye.
Throw Andre 3000 in
Andre, there too. Yeah, facts. That opened a different door of for hip hop. Like going to school, I started seeing cats like that all of a sudden. I was like, man, they done created a whole subgenre of hip hop. Like, you got the hardcore gangster rappers, you got the lyrical miracle niggas, and you got them. And you could tell, bro, just by looking at them, because you look down at them at school and they got on skate shoes.
Right.
Black kids, bro. And I'm not talking about just Vans, because I wore Vans. I'm talking about DCs. Right. That's because of Pharrell and all of them, man. They made it cool. They made it cool for black kids to be like that and be themselves.
And first skinny jeaners. Yeah. All the skinny jeans. And No, and you can say he popularized it for sure. And that's, to me, more like if he was talking fashion. Yeah, Kanye, I think, has one of the biggest claims as far as fashion and how he, you know, he pushed the culture forward with brands and how to freak it and how to really make it really look like something. Kanye definitely did that. And but as far as music, of course, he's a huge influence on the game. Of course, people, you know, flock to his music. What he's done with samples is really second to none over the years. Amazing, but you know, like I said, this is really an advantageous claim to the. I don't see a big influence though inside trap music. That's probably the one place, and Boosie called it out. But like the Migos and like T.I., like I don't know, like not in Trap music.
It was a stretch to an extent with those artists specifically.
Yeah, like the trap music, I just don't see that much Kanye influence other than he would say using 808s. Did he popularize that? Did he?
Auto-tune. But he, if you talking about auto-tune, he could say T-Pain can say the same.
I was going to say, he definitely ain't popularized auto-tune. Like you said, I'm giving it to T-Pain first, if anything.
Roger Troutman. And let's start with that. Everybody gets something from somebody somewhere down the line, and that's okay. Everybody want to originate something. That's not how this life planet shit works.
He should have made the statement more general. If he would have said, like, really, I influence most of your favorite rappers, nobody would have even, you know what I mean, no hiccup, no debate. But I think it was like Lee Boy said, the comment was just so advantageous because, like, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're a person who says no, unless...
And I think Lil Wayne has an argument with him on that.
And that's what I was going to ask next is who is actually the more influential between... Now, Kanye has a little bit more of an advantage because he creates music and he's a producer, so he could create an entire sound, whereas, you know, Wayne is kind of limited as far as picking beats and the producers that he's working with. But who is really more influential in the game? I don't know, man. I might have to go with Wayne.
I think Wayne locked in a certain age bracket. And by that, I mean, if you ask some white kids that's from like the suburbs right now, and that's between the age of, let's say, 25 to about 30, who their favorite rapper is, they'll probably say Lil Wayne if they're not huge rap fans. So I feel like he really captivated, like Jamal always talks about it too. Like, yeah, Wayne's, him being hot is kind of unlike most people's time being hot. Like, I look at guys like him and 50 Cent where I'm like, yeah, you were so hot, you was almost cold. Like, it was ridiculous, the numbers and what you were doing to the culture at the time. Whereas Kanye is like, as big as he is, there's never necessarily one peak of a time we could say Kanye was, yeah, I mean, super red hot. It's just like he's kind of consistently been on fire, if you will.
Yeah, man. And I was just on, shout out to the That's Fucked Up podcast. I was just on the TFU podcast this week. They actually asked me for my top five. And, you know, obviously I was there to react to Quiet on Set. We'll talk about that. Just y'all hold on. We gonna get to it. Don't worry. But they asked me my top five rappers. And, you know, I left Lil Wayne out. Now that we just brought it out, I should have had Lil Wayne in my top five, but I was very West Coast biased. I gave him E-40, Snoop. Also, Jay-Z, I said, was, you know, clearly up there. I gave him Pac and one more. I can't remember right now, but Wayne should have been in there because, I gave him Kanye. I gave him Kanye, Pac, Snoop, E-40, and Jay-Z. So I'm thinking about that a little bit. I might have Wayne in there. Who would y'all replace out of that list? I mean, for y'all, it might be E-40. It might be easy.
I'm about to say, I'm too biased.
He could be my number one, so I can't take him out. I can't take him out. He's like literally one of my biggest influence when it comes to making music. So, it's
personally, a very biased list. Ones you said, I actually might take out Pop personally.
Mm-hmm. He was the last one. He was the last one I added.
Tupac Shakur?
Tupac Shakur, the ones, the rappers he just said, for me personally, my personal five, yes, that's the one I would exclude.
Nah, you would take out E-40 first. You could.
I'm saying after E-40. I was like, E-40 one for me. But I'm saying if I wasn't going to take out E-40, because like you said, Tupac would be next for me.
He was the last one I added, man. And it was, you know, they had to throw out some names, and I picked one. I was like, okay, we throw Pac. They were like, no Pac, no Biggie. I'm like, yeah, Pac get that spot. And, you know, he obviously we don't have to get into a Pac, Biggie, and top five conversation right now, but he's earned his spot. I think the further you get removed though from his career, the harder it is to keep him in that top five, just because of so many the rise of so many great artists like a Kanye that they're gonna keep adding to their catalog. I mean, the things that man just did on his last album is amazing. He just toe up Rolling Loud. He continues to build on his catalog. I don't see how he's not going to end up as a top five rapper for most people. Definitely is for me.
Fair enough. Man, Kanye, bro, I ordered some more of those Yeezy pies, bro. It's taking a long ass time to get here. The $20. And it wasn't $20. It's $20 plus the shipping, an extra $20. So you pay 40 for it, which I ain't tripping. But
them pies could be thrown in an envelope.
Yeah, bro. They're taking forever to come in.
You could throw those in an envelope right to the mailbox.
How heavy are these bad boys? Hey,
nah, they not heavy at all, bro. They not heavy at all. They not heavy at all. Kanye, man, can I get them like before like the summer?
Man, I was gonna say can at least before the next album drop, the next rendition. Yeah. That's coming.
And Vultures too. I seen everybody is on Apple Music now too. The it's little Backstreet Boys sample. We're going to see how that Vultures 2 hit.
You're going to lose your money. You dumb if you, you know what I mean, if you don't want to go with it. Lost your mind. Ain't nobody checking for y'all. But I ain't even going. Yeah.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them, man. Don't tell them shit.
Yeah, they dumb as hell. You ain't going to clear a Kanye sample. And Nicki Minaj, too, for not clearing her verse with Kanye. What? You thought you was hot because the little album had dropped. Come on now. You supposed to clear that. Album, his album out here going number one, streaming out the ass, and then I'm here. He's having trouble with Ice Spice too. She don't want to clear her new body verse.
Don't mess up doing, business, man? Y'all, because you in your feelings.
Kanye fashion is arguably gonna be bigger than his music and his shoes, and so I tell all of them kiss my ass. I make shoes now.
Respectfully, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. All right, man, let's get into the main course, man.
Jeez. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So as we mentioned, y'all, earlier, to those who may not know, Quiet on Set dropped on with the ID Discovery. They pretty much launched this. This was available to watch on HBO Max as well as Amazon Prime. 4-part series that touched on Dan Schneider and pretty much his exploitations with different people who worked at Nickelodeon. There were a number of cast members that decided to speak out, namely get into it. Drake Bell was probably one of the most notable things. And yeah, pretty much, fellas, I'm just gonna let y'all start going. And then I got a few specific questions. So first, though, what was your take on it from episode one? Just what were you thinking immediately when you started watching that?
First, hold on. Before we start, do y'all want to do any disclaimers?
Yeah. I mean, let me put it out here really quick that obviously we know Dan Schneider has not been convicted of any sexual crimes. And I actually do think they did a disservice by mixing up his story so much with Brian Peck, because it kind of lumped them together when really it's two different stories. One person was making nasty content. One person was doing some nasty things in real life. I think it's very, to me, very distinguishable between the two and what they did. But at the same time, you know, they're all contributing to a hostile workplace. So we want to go ahead and say that everything we say here is alleged. We just going off what we seen on the screen. We don't know what was true, but we do know there's a lot more rumors behind everything. So we may discuss that today on the podcast. So don't hold us to it. This is all for entertainment. There you go.
Hey, man, all for entertainment purposes, man. How y'all want to start this, man? What you got?
I just want to because we do have a few, you know, direct questions I want to get to y'all, but just general, just off the first episode, I just want to say one, shock, right? Like everybody, I was just shocked, obviously, to see what was going on. I think two, the biggest thing I wanted to say is that a part of me, this was one of those when we always talk about separating the art from the artist. This was one of those times where it really hit, because it's like, it's one thing to turn off the R. Kelly record at the picnic, but it was like when you really thought about, like, as you're watching this, all that aside and everything that sprung from his, like, man, like, you know, is my childhood tainted? You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So that was my just first thoughts of the first episode. I was like, man, this is a lot. And it's like, of course, you know, 20, 30 years in hindsight, with obviously all of you guys being grown-ups now, but yeah, a lot to digest. What would you think of that first episode, Jamal?
Man. Know your stars. Oh, bruh. I don't know where to start, bro, because it's to the point, bro, where I think everything we ever love is tainted.
Damn.
In a way. And Dan Schneider is very recognizable. I always noticed him when he was on screen in a scene, kind of like, he wasn't a cast member, of course, but him, the pickle guy, and what's the other guy? Five minutes.
Kevin.
Yeah, bro. Like, they weren't part of the cast, but they kind of was part of the cast. he just seemed like, oh, freak ass boy. He just seemed, the thing is, and what he did, how he treated people was not right. But man, he could, man, and if you're a freak ass boy, man, when you walk out your house, leave that shit at the crib. But you can't give somebody, then what make it worse is he has power. So you're scared to piss him off. He's scared to get on his bad side. And, like, let me ask you this, because I got written down over here. Let's see. Let's see what I got written down. And maybe I shouldn't say it because maybe it's one of the questions that we're going to talk about.
Well, yeah, I mean, before you get into it, let me just do a quick read. Just a, you know, overall thought. You know what I'm saying? It's nasty. It's nasty because when you are an adult and you are writing jokes, you have a certain power, dominion over these kids, and you're forcing them to do things that are in your head that you know exactly what you got going on. You know exactly what's in your head, but then you know a lot of these kids are oblivious to the thoughts and the things that they're actually doing. So I just try to imagine myself writing dirty jokes, masking it, and having some kids act it out and then pretend as if that wasn't the thing. Like, cum shots is cut. Like, when you have kids squeezing potatoes and pouring water on themselves and making freaky noises, nah, you're not going to be thinking about that as a kid, that this is nasty. You don't know nothing about sex. You don't know anything about that. For a lot of people.
Lee Boyle, let me ask you this real quick. Mm-hmm. What do you say to the people? Because I've heard people say, and I read on the internet, people say, when writers say, man, we didn't want to write down the kids.
We didn't
and
want
that's
to
the reason why they don't want to write down to kids. You get right. What I'm saying? And it's a lot of that in SpongeBob too. Because if you watch older episodes of SpongeBob, it's too much adult humor. So, and the writers used to always say the excuse was they didn't want to write down the kids. But I don't really think that's an excuse.
Now, I think so with SpongeBob, and you could say obviously like Ren and Stimpy was sort of like that. You know, The Simpsons in general, I know that's not Nickelodeon, but these type of, you know, these type of cartoons that have some adult humor incorporated. And I believe they also have the ratings to match, though. Simpsons did, probably. But SpongeBob and Ren and Stimpy, they had G ratings and it was just available for kids. I believe there's just no place in the game to that. I don't think that you should market that type of material to kids because they're not getting it. It's going to be put into their subconscious. But you know, adults need their own content. Why are adults watching Nickelodeon content? And is it grooming? I don't know if it's grooming, but it is weird. If you're putting on a small kid into, I don't put my kids onto like a SpongeBob yet. You know what I'm saying? If they find it, I don't really care that much. I don't think, you know, I don't think it's too bad, but I think it is a difference though. When you have people in live action doing this versus cartoons, because that's already in a make-believe world. It's a little bit over the top. But when you throw in actual faces and people that have to, you know, live on into eternity with their image carrying on these acts or these thoughts of these writers that really have, it's seemingly nefarious, you know, motivation. I just think if there's an extra level of scrutiny that needs to be paid there when it's live action kids. You know, you're not seeing that today on the shows anymore because they've already kind of eradicated. So that just shows that there was something wrong about it. But I will say too, though, the 90s was crazy. The 90s was crazy. I believe that there is a difference between the content that was put out then and now. It wouldn't really fly by and because they're just looking at it with a highly scrutinized eye. So it is also a sign of the times, and I cannot completely blame Dan Schneider. I'll say that off the bat. You can't completely blame him because he was just giving the people what they wanted.
Man, he should have been producing and working for Pornhub instead of Nickelodeon.
Right.
All right, bro, you can get away. That shit would be PC over there.
Or at least, bro. You know, HBO, the Skin Max, whatever the free right. channel was back then, you know.
Know exactly what you're talking about. Had it
all right, bro. Some freaky ass cartoons or something. Do something, bro, with that shit, man.
I just want to throw this out here because, Lee Boy, you mentioned something both of y'all did as far as the jokes for kids part. Amanda Bynes, and we're going to get into her. There's a clip in there where she tells a joke, and I believe it was Katrina Johnson who was saying that the joke was funny. Amanda was like 10 talking about a pimple, and she was looking like, girl, you ain't got no pimples, but she was like, the joke and the delivery was great. And that, to me, just kind of shows that there is a way, because it's like the same type of jokes that y'all saw that made you want to bring her on. You could have, in theory, done that same type of content, because I look at somebody like, Lee Boy, to my knowledge, you weren't a stand-up comedian or anything before this. You just, have been auditioning, got on the show. So I feel like the way that they wanted to go with the jokes, with some people, it's like, yeah, maybe you could say, to your point, it's not all on Dan Schneider. There's a bunch of people in charge who make those decisions. But with others, it's like, well, if I came with a certain style of comedy and you changed it, that's not true. You did that.
Lee Boy, during your skit with the nose, when the part when you sneezed on Christy, bro, and it hit her face, bro, Christy's face.
They slowed it down, too. It went slow-mo. She was like.
Bro, you look sad as hell. You can just tell, dog, man, what the fuck, bro?
And see, she was 17, 18 then. I believe right. at that time you might be mature enough to see where they're going with this. Why are you splatting me in the face? And that might have been the third, fourth time we had done it, and she just over it. And they get the money shot, though. It ain't never a wide shot when it comes to that. When it's like,
they zoom in
close. Yeah, we in close. We got to get the reaction. It's hitting you square in the face. It ain't never on the body, right? It ain't never on the arm. Oh, you squirted me in my arm. Okay. I wiped it off and it was funny. Nah, it's always right here. Got him.
And, bro, when they make this face like this,
right?
I'm like, oh man, she looked like she over that shit, bro. That shit, bro, it was her face like, dog, I'm about to get up and walk off this fucking set.
That was a real reaction. She like, one more time.
They kept it for the episode? Like, did that
her reaction? No, that was the one that was on the episode. Yeah, they got that straight from the actual show footage. And then with Alexa Nicholas, she was on Zoe 101. She has a shot for Jamie Lynn Spears. And, she told the story, and we actually met. We were together for the premiere of the show. We watched it together. And she told the story that they did it 4 or 5 times, and that she heard somebody say, "That's a cum shot." It was one of the teenage boys that was on the show. And then they was like cheering. She said that Dan and all the dudes in the staff was cheering. "Got it, we got it." They got the perfect shot. And someone yelled out cup shot or something. And she said she didn't even know what it was at the time. But things like that stick into your brain when you're a kid. You don't realize at the time, but later on, it's just like listening to some of your favorite lyrics. You'd be like, oh, that's what the fuck they was talking about. Certain things just stick into your brain, and that stuck in the brain for her. But just to, with her experience, with my experience, and I'll say there was more stuff. People have been sending me more stuff. I got actually hit with some whipped cream on another skit where Mark Saul was drinking whipped cream, but it was shaving cream in the skit, right? He was like, so it was funny because he was sucking down shaving cream, and then he ended up hitting me in the face, and I'm getting hit in the face with cream. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, it's a reoccurring thing. And I mean, you guys writing that, is that just funny? Is that funny seeing people get hit with juices in the face and, substances in the face? It's kind of funny. I felt like a pie in the face or getting smacked like a fish was funny. You know what I'm saying? Like stupid shit, but like juices in the face, and like it's just a very, it's very targeted, and it's very specific.
To me, growing up watching Nickelodeon, stuff like that didn't make me laugh. The actual talent did. Mm-hmm. Like when when you did an impersonation of something, like when Keenan would play certain characters, even now with him on Saturday Night Live, or even when he was a kid playing All Day, you'd be like, you could tell he knew somebody like that growing up. Like, you could say he went to church with a preacher like that because he got it down pat. Like, pat. That part to me was more entertaining. When Krista used to do the news lady, like, and Amanda used to do whatever. Like, you could tell Krista probably went to school with a white girl like that. And she just, you get what I'm saying? She just, what's the word I'm looking for, y'all? She channeled that shit.
Dude. Right. She really,
I'm gonna talk like this white girl I went to eighth grade with, because that's exactly what I'm gonna channel that. And when you see actors and actresses do that, and you be like, man, dog, that's what I care about. I don't care. You can miss me with the slime and all of the whipped cream and shit. I get it, but to me, you don't have to do that to make me laugh. I'm invested in the character. Not the stunts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like another one was the convenience store with Nick Cannon and Keenan. You know, them just being two little girls. They didn't. Right. I'm sure they, you know, they was probably slipping, and you know, and now they would play up stuff where, you know, Nick Cannon dress would fall off, and you know what I'm saying? It would be showing his chicken legs, and they tried to, like, you know, make it salacious. It was always something salacious they had to add in, but it wasn't necessary. And that's where, you know, and you mentioned it, you don't want to play down to kids or write down to kids. And so that helps bring in maybe some more mature audiences. It helps parents watch along with their kids. But where do you draw the line? Where do you, and Matt, you with your comedy background, where do you draw the line? Is it appropriate? What are your thoughts on mixing adult humor with child humor and its place in comedy and TV?
All right, so for me, just going back to the SpongeBob point, I think it makes a huge difference when it's live action versus a cartoon, which is why I think SpongeBob, even like kids, you know, your age, depending on the type of environment they're around, they're still not going to get those jokes. I feel like you really have to be in an environment to get, because SpongeBob, those jokes were very complex. And honestly, because they were sponges and fish and whatnot, we weren't seeing anything that even gave you an idea unless you're a weirdo. So that's one. As far as, like you say, going to comedy now, I think if you're making children's comedy, then you need to do even what I tell people. Like, if you're writing about rap music today, it'd be good for you to have friends or cohorts that are 20, 19, because not only are they listening to it, they're around the people who are making it. So I think that was the biggest thing. If you look at it, even with Dan Schneider, there just weren't enough people that were in there outside of, you know, the pedophiles who were kids, you know, who really loved kids and had that passion for it. And I think that would have helped, because now you have minds in there that actually know not only what they think is funny for a child, but what they see kids actually think is funny. Because, and I don't want to go too long, Alexis Nichols, she mentioned it when she was talking about on Zoe 101, like, even the clothes, she was like, you know, I was a little, you know, self-conscious about my body. She was like, I was this age and I wasn't even wearing these type of skirts. But it's like, and to Dan Schneider's point, not to throw too much, but y'all know he went on The Hollywood Reporter and whatnot. He mentioned, you know, I don't have any, you know, handling over stuff like that. To me, that's when stuff like that, whether it was the jokes, whether the costume was supposed to be a joke, you get the right people in there who really are seeing these individuals that age on the day to day. And I think that helps a lot.
I mean, and the fact, you know, they talked about having porn on the corn, whatever. I already said enough. They had the adult material up on the laptop. So those are the things that are top of the mind. Those are your references. And, you know, that is what a lot of times, I'm sure, dudes were talking about, and the comedy and the little jokes that they was running back and forth, you know. And that's a cultural thing to me. I'm not sure that Black people sit around and have sexual references as much, you know what I'm saying, as white guys, that middle-aged white guys. They just find that shit funny. You know, I keep that shit at the house, you know, because we already know. It might be instinctual in us that, you know, we know where the Emmett Tills went. We know how the goddamn, you know, how Black Wall Street got burnt down was basically off a rape charge, you know what I'm saying? And we just know where that type of slapstick comedy can get you. And whereas they don't have those same type of consequences, so they just willy-nilly kind of throwing it out there. And it's just, to me, I never thought that sexual jokes were that funny. I always just thought, hey, the uncomfortability of it makes people think, and maybe you might laugh out of nervousness. And so for them to be throwing it in there, it's just kind of lazy. It's just kind of lazy. Like, yeah. I seen them on one episode. I don't even know what show it is. It might have been Victorious, one of the later seasons. One of the adult characters, he might have been like a 35-year-old man, was squirting multiple kids with lotion. And they was just all getting hit. What is funny about this? You squirting everybody in the room. Bah, 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 bah. And it was all getting hit. Nothing's funny about this, man.
Bro, tweaking.
Nothing funny about this unless you're just a nasty person that finds humor in cum shots. I don't find too much humor in that. I just don't find the humor in it. So to exploit kids and use them as the backdrop is just, it's just nasty. Dan has a lot of culpability there. But and I mentioned it at the top of this topic. It doesn't compare, though, to Brian Peck and John Handy and what they did. I think, because what Dan Schneider was doing was actually being approved by the networks. And he rightfully called him out. He rightfully called out Nickelodeon in his apology. We'll get to that. But the sexual allegations and what happened to Drake Bell at the hands of Brian Peck.
Pickle Man.
Pickle Boy. Now, that part was Dan. That part was Dan. He was approving and writing all that shit, putting it in the show. But I think it was kind of overstated, and maybe I was misunderstood that, like, Dan was bringing them around the set to set and making sure that he was employed and they were buddies. I'm not sure that is quite the case. But nevertheless, it was approved and it was written in the script. Pickle Boy. What's funny about pickles? What is funny about pickles?
He walked around with a big ass plate of pickles. I enough and just smile, smirk. He didn't talk. He didn't have a word. Yeah, he just smiled. He did a good smirk. Every time somebody needed a pickle. And he'll be walking around backstage and whenever somebody was hungry, he just ironically pop up with a big ass plate of pickles. Like, damn, I'm hungry. Who I want to pick? I guess that's the human in it. It's fucking pickles, but man.
I mean, if you want to say the word pickles is funny, yeah, this is a funny word. It's just a funny thing to reference, I guess. But I think the biggest thing is obviously the shape. I mean, it's just
right.
Yeah, it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
It was also like the baby was biting them. They was huge, pulled. Like, it was like, you dragging it. Like, these is...
Dragging it, bro.
These is girthy, son. Like, I'm really trying to choose my words carefully because y'all ain't about to meme me all up on Twitter somewhere.
Hey, you seen what they did to me, bro. Goddamn, I ain't going to talk. I can't even talk about it. And look, I'm going to say, look, investigation discovery. Now y'all know I ain't coming there for all that. Y'all didn't exploit that. Look, shout out to Investigation Discovery. They doing God's work in HBO Max and all that. There is a fine line, I will say, that are you also using this salacious material to also push your documentary? They have to bring it to light. They have to bring it to light. But They did focus on that quite a bit. They have to, I guess. But to me, I went in there more to uncover what happened to Amanda Bynes, speak up for child stars. They threw a little sprinkle at the end. You know, we talked about child stars. I wanted to discuss more about the residuals and leaving child stars destitute after working from Nickelodeon with no path towards success, right? And, those are the things that I'm more concerned with. I didn't even know really about that. I never thought about the content that way. I never really thought about the content that way. They are right. It was like that, but I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I think what's worse is using kids up to, you can't use them no more. And then throw their ass away. Like Drake Bell, Amanda Bynes, these people should have been held close to the Nickelodeon family. They should be, stake owners in the whole network, and they should be adults they should have the opportunity to, to be adults and be working there to this day, the way Nick Cannon did. And, they took care of some of us, but not everybody. They could have looked out for some people a little bit more. And that's something that I was investing in. That's the messaging I wanted to get out. And now I'm just, Big Nose, was Captain Big Nose with
nose
the
boy.
Yeah, the nose boy with the noses on the shoulders, whatever them things was. And some long ass noses, Paul.
Yeah. Sort of thought they were white noses, it would have been cool. That'd be this old African black nose and shit.
Man, them niggas. Yeah, he wild for that, bro. I want, can I? All right.
I do got a few questions, so yeah, take it away.
Go ahead.
These questions is just more direct, so if you got anything you want to say before I ask some specifics about
the doctor. Go ahead.
Oh, so the main one, fellas, obviously what we've considered and talked about, obviously Lee Boy, considering, you know, with yourself, Brian Hearns, Giovanni, just you want to throw some names out there. Most people online were saying that Dan seemed to be closest to the white cast members. Fellas, having, you know, Lee Boy, with your experience, and Jamar, obviously being the fan that you are, what is your take on that based on what y'all saw in the documentary as well?
I mean, I personally always wanted to leave race out of it. They did ask me questions and try to get to it, you know, and it may have been. Now, I will say there's two different eras, though, Dan Schneider. There was the era that was the beginning of all that. At some point, he kind of left, did some stuff with Amanda as far as What I Think About You or whatever that show was called. He left. He comes back. He's in complete power and kind of molding the cast and things like that. Whereas in my years, you know, there were, I believe, more hands in the pot. And I believe, you know, Nickelodeon was actually a leader in diversity as far as Kenan and Kel being stars, you know, having myself on there, Christy Knowings on there. You add Nick Cannon, so you literally have four black males. Like, so if you talking about diversity, and the three of them were the most successful people that ever grace all that cast or a Dan Schneider cast. Well, you know what? I don't even think Nick Cannon was ever there during a Dan Schneider year on all that. So, you know, for me, I didn't really see it that way. I believe for him, like when I saw it, it was just more about talent. Whoever he liked the most, he showed a lot of favoritism towards. He put them in a lot more skits. He set them up for their own show. And at the time, that was Amanda. It looked like Kenan and Kel, obviously. You know, he set them up with a lot of time. But other than that, I didn't feel the race component. Now, it doesn't mean that it wasn't there when Giovanni and Brian was around, because Lil Fetus.
Oh, I remember that.
And him selling them Girl Scout cookies, like they was drugs. I mean, that looked pretty token. Both of them is very token. Lil Fetus is very token. And then Giovanni just felt that way. I believe they called her Dreads French Fries in one of those what is the skit? Who
with
are you?
Her and the gothic girl and the dingy chick. I remember a skit with Giovanni. It was like a sleepover. You had the gothic chick, the dingy chick, and Giovanni. Are you talking about that skit specifically?
I don't know the skit. I just know from speaking with Giovanni that was a concern, that they referred to her dress as fries or something. And she was, you know, hurt by that. And obviously she always talks about the makeup and hair, how she had to outsource and try to get some, you know, some help and assistance for people to deal with her natural hair. So, you know, there could have been different issues in later seasons that I wasn't really privy to.
That's crazy. French fries. Wow. That's crazy, bro.
And I believe it's on the show. Yeah. Like in a skit. So it was, what was the skit? It was the skit when you was on stage, not the on air dare. I think you brought it up.
Know your stars.
And know your stars is where they refer to her hair in like an unfavorable way. And, you know, she always held that. She always had contention with that.
That's crazy. I remember that shit. Know your stars. As far as race, it's kind of hard. I'm with you on that, Lee Boy. I mean, I'm a kid, bro, so I'm not really thinking of it in that way. I just think it's dope that you got some black kids on there. Not realizing that that's probably part of it. But again, mm-hmm. I don't know, bro. I'm a fan, bro. I'm in a small city in Louisiana. I don't fucking know that. I'm just assuming, hey, man, got some black kids on there. Whoever the black kids were, they were my favorite cast members, period. And I don't And what I don't know, bro. I will say, because Katrina brought up when all that first, Katrina is a part of the original cast, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember when she was younger, she was kind of chunky, and she brought this up, and she was like, they were telling her what Katrina needs to lose weight. So she was like, after, not too long after that, she hit puberty. And I remember saying it as a kid, and I was like, "Dog, Katrina, fine." Dog. So, mm-hmm. and that became a problem. So I'm like, "Okay, you want her to lose weight? Then when she actually grows up, now she looks too much like a woman." And I didn't really realize that they kind of replaced her and Angelique, right?
Yeah,
with Amanda.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I mean,
never really realized it.
Yeah, so. I think there's a lot more factors than just race. And but you know what? You do need, especially in a show like that, an ensemble cast where you have different characters and you're writing skits and there's all sketches. You kind of do need someone from each race to kind of play each right. stereotype. It could be black. There's different stereotypes. Like they had, you know, they had a great Gabriel Iglesias on there. I'm sure he was doing some stereotypes. Danny Tamborelli was definitely doing some stereotypes. So it wasn't just on his race. It might be your look. It might be how you present. I believe there's just so many different factors there. But, you know, I definitely never want to downplay what Brian and Giovanni went through. And like I said, I believe in the second iteration of Dan at Nickelodeon, he was a little bit, you know, he was power hungry.
He was probably a full blown monster by that point.
Yeah, he was doing whatever the hell he wanted to do.
Shout out to the cast members, man. I hate to try to go through that. And then again, me being a fan of the kid, I had no idea that I was getting put through that, bro. That's crazy. That's crazy, bro.
So does it taint how you think of all that? Like, did us doing this documentary, because, you know, obviously I'm still working with these, working on SplatCon, and I've been telling everyone, you know, this is a celebration of, just because Dan Snyder and Brian Peck did what they did,
right.
Am I canceling myself? No, I'm not canceling, you know, the hard work that we put in. And does that mean that we don't need to be celebrating each other, you know, celebrating these cast members and celebrating the talent that was there? And then on top of that, not everybody was on the Dan Snyder show. Rugrats don't got nothing to do with Dan. Does this taint, though, all that?
No,
does
no.
Does it taint Good Burger, Keenan Kale?
Hell, it can't. I refuse, and I may be being a stubborn fan, but I'm going to go ahead and sit in this. I'm going to stand on it. Look, bro, Nickelodeon is and will forever be the greatest children's network ever. Would y'all agree on that? Matt, would you agree on that?
I agree, yeah, I think so. I mean, we was killing Disney Channel. Disney, they might have been getting checks over
Disney,
there.
They weren't there yet, so I think by far, Nickelodeon.
Yeah, Disney picked up in the early 2000s, early to mid-2000s. That's when Disney picked up. And Nickelodeon kind of, I ain't going to say slowed down, but they kind of, it kind of evened out.
Just because we've been killing it for so long and you never had nothing.
Well, Matt, is it only because we just start getting older and naturally, of course, I'm fucking 13 now. Of course I'm going to watch That's So Raven over All Grown Up.
Oh, yeah, because I never watched All Grown Up like that, to your point, just because of when it came
right,
out.
Right, but we was getting older, though. So naturally, Disney had the more preteen teen shows. Other than All That, Keenan and Kel, that was the only kind of teen slash preteen shows. If you want to call it Amanda and stuff, that's cool. But you had That's So Raven. Disney had, okay, I'm getting old enough, bro. I can't watch SpongeBob like that no more. I need some that's on my level, you know what I'm saying? Dealing with high school, middle school stuff. So, but other than that, Nickelodeon is dominant, bro, to the point where the reason why this documentary is a thing, the reason why SplatCon is a thing, is because of Nickelodeon's dominance.
Yeah.
Period. And everybody's grown now. And the fact that everybody's grown now and still heavily emotionally invested into it, It just goes to show you they can't do no Disney Channel con. Well, they can. Let me not say that. But I don't think it'll be as popular as SplatCon, bro. That's just my opinion. Maybe I'm being biased. But I'm not going to stop enjoying Nickelodeon. It's a part of my childhood, bro. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If Dan is a monster, that may be true. But, man, nah, fam. You're not taking that. You're not taking Nickelodeon from me. I'm sorry.
And there were, you know, I'm heavily biased. The Disney Channel and really no other kids show will ever did what all that did as far as the culture infusion and the musical guests and putting that all together. It's just not going to happen ever again. So yeah, there it is. So, and now Dan wasn't the creator. He wasn't the creator. He might've wrote some skits. He might've wrote some skits and created a whole lot of characters. He even did the intro voiceover on Leroy and Fuzz. Hey, Leroy. Hey, but I'm being, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when R. Kelly got his catalog, right? We might not play Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. We might not play Your Body's Calling Me. But when that Step in the Name of Love, come on. I'm rocking with Step in the Name of the Love, all right?
I'm about to sound horrible. I still listen to Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
I might listen to the intro, but once you start getting into his bag, I'm going to go ahead and skip that one. That's cool because it just put me in the wrong mindset. I start thinking about with Kells and all this. But Step in the Name of Love, that's a we at the church. Right. We good.
Classic. Well, I'm like you. I'm going to be real with you when it comes to the music. Not that song in particular, but as I've gotten older, I think if you really want to dig that deep, most of your favorite artists, I don't care what genre it is, if they make movies, they make music, they paint, they probably done some what the F, something extremely questionable to your own, you know, values and morals. It's like if I was listening to these artists or watching these shows because I agree with their values and morals, I probably wouldn't watch any television, if we're being honest. Like we wouldn't listen to no.
You wouldn't have no entertainment.
Nothing. Yeah.
Like one of my old friends, we're not friends no more. One of my old homies. I remember when Joe Budden, Rory, and Ma broke up, and his moral compass was like, I ain't fucking with Joe Budden no more. I ain't listening to Joe Budden no more because of what happened with him, Rory, and Ma. And I told him, hey, bro, do you know Joe Budden personally? Did Joe Budden steal from you? Okay, no. So why the fuck you taking this so personal? Is he still not entertaining? No, you can listen to Rory Maul podcast, bro. I listen to it. You can listen to both.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it. But he completely stopped listening to his favorite podcaster over some shit that don't got nothing to do with him.
Over Rory, a goddamn Maul.
Right.
Like,
Rory,
are you serious? Yeah, like you said.
No, Rory and Maul, they seem like cool guys, but they don't know you, bro.
You know how many homies break up every day? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It happens all the time, bro. But his moral whatever, I'm like, well, dog, I'm going to keep this in the JBN. You don't have to. He ain't do shit to me. It don't matter. It don't matter how I feel about it. It's none of my business. And like you said, if we went by that code, we would have no zero entertainment, bro. We'll be sitting outside throwing rocks.
We wouldn't be listening, watching Disney. I could, you know, all the grooming they got, quote unquote, they got, and then we couldn't wear Nikes because the sweatshops, and we couldn't have Apple phones because they mining batteries. We couldn't do shit. So you might as well just quit the United States, and go live on an island somewhere. And that's why, you know, when it comes to the SplatCon or me hanging out with Alexa Nicholas or, you know, I can compartmentalize. I can say, hey, Dan Schneider might have been an asshole. Brian Peck might have been an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Certain people might have done things. I might be an asshole. You might go listen to my album, Make Music Slap Again, want to cancel me. That's fine because you heard me say some shit. I really, you know, that's cool. I'm going to be me. I'm not perfect. And so I think it's important that we can, you know, that we could judge things, compartmentalize things and think for ourselves and, you know, and pick and choose what you want to do, what you want to listen to and carve your own lane and what goes into your brain, because it ain't just boycotting everything and canceling everything. What does it do? It's just going to lead to nothing being profitable and just killing the American economy because it's all based on some bullshit and just and sensationalism. Yeah, that's what entertainment is.
Lee boy, man, you know hell empty, man. You know hell, right, y'all know hell empty, bro.
Especially nobody, if you're on Twitter, on TikTok or Twitter, you going to heaven. You didn't call everybody out.
Everybody perfect. Bro, look, man. Everybody got their shit with them, bro. I got my shit with me, definitely, bro. I probably shouldn't have bullied Chaburro so bad. And I probably should have. Like, I'm whatever I need to be in that time. Mm-hmm. And if I gotta apologize later, bro, that's just what it is. I've had jobs, bro, in the past, and I don't mean to get off topic, we're gonna get straight back to the topic. I've had jobs in the past when a supervisor asked me, or boss asked me, Jamal, why did you lie to me? Man, I looked that man straight in his face and told him, because I had to lie to you because me lying to you got me to the next day. If I would have told you the truth, that would have been the end.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take my lie personal, bro. I had my job as a person, as a human being, as somebody who's accountable for myself, is to get to the next day. Period. So I hate liars. I hate liars now as I get older. So I try my best not to lie, bro. Matter of fact, I'm honest 97% of the time. But every once in a while, bro, you gotta lie, bro. You gotta lie, son. You gotta lie. You gotta freak it a little bit. Pause. That's the only way. Because if you don't, you're not gonna survive. You're not gonna survive, bro.
And so, speaking of apologies and freaking it, y'all see Dan Schneider's apology.
Oh, yeah. You want me to read it?
Let's go ahead and hear it. What he had to say.
This is Dan Schneider's apology. I'm on NBC News. Ex-Nickelodeon producer Dan Schneider apologizes after Quiet on the Set docuseries. Facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, and I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology. That's pretty much it, huh?
Well, I watched the video.
Hollywood Reporter, too, so I mean, he did a whole spiel, and I just...
Y'all want to go into it some more? Or
No.
This is what Lee Boy said, but I was just going to say he cleaned it up, and I was just going to say that kind of goes with my next point, though, which you just read, his apology was... Did y'all think Dan Schneider was particularly weird when it came to Amanda Bynes? And what I want to reference is some of the massage and the different stuff. And we even saw that some of the cast members were sitting on his lap, you know, because that was a cool thing. Lee Boy, I know you were actually there with her. And then Jamal, just your take on obviously what you saw with Amanda Bynes' career from a fan standpoint. Yeah, what do y'all think? Do y'all think there was a weird closeness with those two particular that was...
I mean, I believe that he just found her incredibly talented. And that he wanted to make sure that their relationship was always tight. And does that mean that he crossed the line? Probably so. He probably crossed the line just as far as, and it just seems like he's a touchy-feely person. Like anybody, I don't want just anybody massaging me at work. Not every single wardrobe lady. I'm not just going fishing for a random. And, you know, I don't want to judge these ladies. We seen the lady that was in the documentary. I mean, I'm not asking for a massage from her. I'm just like, I'm not really hyped for that one.
I ain't gonna hold you. Hands like that. Shit.
Hey, it might be all right. But you know, I did kind of attest and remember them just being pretty touchy-feely. You know, Amanda might have gave him a quick massage. She might have been hugging her from the back. He was hitting in his director's chair. She kind of, you know, in between his legs and all that. Stuff that you might, obviously you would do with your pops, but then if you see it with the uncle, you kind of like looking sideways like, why are you always touching your knee so quick, you know, so much? And why y'all always so close? Why y'all always talking? Why y'all always going to the back room? Why you play games with your niece? You know what I'm saying? Like, we grown men. What is your interest with playing little girl games? I don't play with little girls. You know what I'm saying? I don't have extended conversations with little girls. I don't have anything in common with them. If they get too close, now, being that, you know, sometimes I have a 5-year-old son, I'm dealing with other little girls that may be 5 and 6. They don't know any better. They could give you a hug and don't really know. If it's especially if they parent, I pushing their ass back. Back your ass up. Back up. Yeah, we're going to talk like this. I'm going to put my hands on your shoulder. And this is the distance. I'm establishing a distance that is appropriate. And that is something that I definitely seen, like, they were breaking the touch barrier a little bit too much, something that would be uncomfortable for me and my daughter, especially at the 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old. When you get to that age, there should absolutely be a clear boundary. At 5 or 6, it's a little bit different because they don't know no better. Hopefully, you as the adult can take control of the situation. But at that age, there's really no excuse because you know where her mind is. You know that she's thinking about boys, and it's just different. And I believe that their relationship was a little bit inappropriate. Now, was there anything sexual going on? I don't know. I do know that her living with him and trying to get the whole get emancipated, her going to his house seems a little bit weird. But he kind of cleared it up in his apology, and I want to give him some grace. And it seemed like his intentions may have been on the up and up. Definitely would want to hear about from Amanda on that, though.
Yeah, I wanted to ask y'all, do y'all think this was the start of how Amanda's life has gone since then? Because every once in a while, Amanda will pop up in the news. Do y'all think this plays a big part? Because it seems like her and Orlando Brown are the same person. Just... Mm-hmm. On a different size at this point. Orlando Brown seems a little bit more public with his, but that's about it.
But, and they both seem like they have a secret that they have alluded to. Now, you guys remember the Amanda Bynes tweets, right? That she said that she basically said that she doesn't know she can have kids because of some act that happened. And she's alluded to her father kind of pimping her out, and this is all alleged.
Did come back out years later and say, you know, that she was embarrassed about that. Like, that's, you know what I mean? So that was another reason, was like,
Who, but awesome. Who says that? Yeah, who says that? I mean, to me, that seems like a moment of, even if you are under the influence, a moment of sobriety. Sometimes you say things that you know that you shouldn't say, and they come out because you are so upset and under the influence of something. To me, that seemed like a moment of sobriety or clarity where she, and this is all, you know, I'm just being skeptical here, but I believe though that was a moment of truth. There's something to be said about those tweets when she was denying that it was her, and you know, it wasn't clear whether it was her or not. I know this documentary, they attempted to try to get those answers from Amanda. She wasn't complying or willing to speak up. I'm sure they would have loved to have her in that seat, even over Drake Bell or alongside Drake Bell. Both of them have a compelling story.
He needs to be there. I mean, I'm happy for him. I think that was important.
Yeah, but the whole thing, you know, I think she alluded and she said it was like a second father figure that sexually assaulted her on Twitter, and we don't know if it was her or not. We don't know if it's true or not. But those are the words that allegedly came out of her mouth, or that we think that was her. And we need some answers. We need some answers.
Will we ever get Amanda to sit down and like just okay? Her, and I'm talking about just kind of like the style of this docuseries. Amanda, get a chair, just sit in a chair by yourself, you on camera, sit down and talk. Do y'all think that's ever gonna happen?
Yes.
When?
2024. I say give things like not even the next 5 years. And the reason I say that is because I know she's now, I believe, been out of conservatorship like 2 years now. She's been quote unquote on her own. I think as time goes on, whether it's for herself, like it with Drake, or whether it's just to put the message out, I think even when I watched Drake give his spiel, it was very clear. This was just to let y'all know this is how it went down or whatever. He's fought his demons, you know, he's had his battles, and that's why you see he looked like, even the way he talked about it, like, yeah, as a man, I was sitting there looking like, yeah, you would have to kill me, I'd have to be in hell, and then you still wouldn't get me to be able to say some of those things on camera. I don't care what nobody says. So it was one of those, nah, I get it. That's why I was like, it was just great for him to have people understand that, and the fact that people didn't believe him, and all of those, you know, 41 famous people who wrote letters, it just kind of shows just how wicked everything goes. So to Lee Boy's point, it's like, you really don't know what to believe, because, like, you know, when you have so many of these people that's in the same room and whatnot bumping elbows, it's like, well, how similar are y'all, right? Like, we've never even met each other from a can of paint. We only with them podcasts, but people see, you know, hey, these guys talk every week. How similar are they? If one of us, you know, God forbid, has some type of stuff, I think it definitely speaks to character.
Right.
And then will Amanda speak? I think eventually, yeah. I do think eventually she will. I hope that she just doesn't fall into it and just do it on a regular podcast or something, though. You know what I'm saying? I hope that if she waited all this time, that she go ahead and just do on Quiet on Set 2 and get with a producer, make it, you know, especially if she's seeing the success of this past of this documentary. And it's not about the clout or being successful. I just want it to be credible. And so that way they can't try to say that, you know, try to discredit her based on what she's been going through. Get with the right people, put out the right information, and, you know, stick it to the people that deserve it. And be in the right mind frame. You know, take your time. Make sure it's at a time where you can express yourself clearly and get it out. If you got to wait 10 years just and write a book, do it all. And like I said, it's not about milking it, but I believe there's going to be a point where she doesn't have anything else left other than her story. And, you know, she was in that conservatorship for a reason. And she doesn't have any viable prospects. It seems when it comes to making the money that she used to make. So I just hope that when it's time that she gets all that's due for her to her for it. Because I don't see a big project coming. I mean, the way she's acting now, the talent, it has just diminished greatly. I don't see how she could get it back. I couldn't even listen to Amanda really on a podcast. I know she tried the podcast. It's just not there for her. And it's really sad because of, you know, the immense talent. She was one of the most talented kids to ever grace a television. Like, if you think about what she did on Ask Ashley, you know, it was 3 minutes, just her. You know, like I had my singular, you know, sketch, singular signature sketch, but I had at least Fuzz to play off. It was me and Fuzz. I had just one-liners. He had one-liners, much different than having a 3 to 4 minute monologue where you are going from here to here every single time. And it was incredibly, incredibly entertaining. I mean, even with Keenan and Pierre Escargot, it was like 30 seconds and he made up some words and then said a one word sentence. What Amanda did, I don't believe anybody on the set could talk that well for 3 minutes and just kill it. Sometimes with no breaks, no cuts. I'm telling you, it was next level for a 10-year-old to be doing shit like that, man. And it's just a stark difference from who she is now. So I couldn't see her try to capture the moment again in acting, to be honest.
Yeah, man, this show is fucking iconic, man. This, you got me sitting here thinking about all the scenes with these kids, man. The vital information for your everyday life, like, bro.
My homegirl, that's Lord, back then.
Yeah, bro. This show full is unmatched, bro. Like, for real. Like, that's why.
Loud librarian, remember that name? Loud librarian.
Yeah, quiet. You in the library, bro? This shit.
Oh wait, bro, one of my favorite, Principal William Bang Pimp Hell.
What's the cafeteria? His lady used to play his nigga smoking.
Miss Piddling. With the peas, Miss Piddling with the dead peas. Obviously, repair man. I was repair boy. Coach Creighton, my favorite.
I remember that shit.
A repair boy,
Didn't Coach Creighton babysit you one episode?
Coach Creighton, I believe, babysitted me at the house, I believe. But then also we did the voodoo doll was one of the big ones I did with Coach Creighton, where I had a little Coach Creighton and I was tossing him around and Kel was doing the same thing. You know, I tossed his ass out the window and he was like, trying not to go. He's trying not to go out the window and flew out the window. That man right there with his physical comedy, man.
Right.
That is what made the show. It wasn't the cum shots.
That's what I was saying.
It wasn't the feet jokes and the pickles.
That's what I was saying earlier, bro. It's the talent. Like you said, when you threw the doll out the window, he was like, no, Don't take me. I won't do it. It was pulling him forward.
They're shaking you.
Yeah, bro. You could have kept the cum shots.
Man, William Bay Pimpel. And you know, he used to be squeezing. It was like a pump in his hand, in his pocket. So he was doing like pumping the pimple, like was getting bigger every time he was talking. Bro, we used to be dying laughing when he did that shit, man. And I used to just love Keenan's spirit. And Kel as well. I mean, Kel literally had the whole set rolling when he was doing his physical thing. But Keenan, you could tell that he was enjoying the comedy when he was in these skits. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be laughing at himself. He know he looking at you. You know you laughing. Y'all about to break character. And, you know, those are the most enjoyable times, man. So, you know, just coming off, I don't know if you have any more questions. We'll get into it. But I'll just say, like, I don't want it to be misconstrued. Like, I never had fun on the set. It was all dark times. People saying, a lot of people messaged me, I'm sorry for what you went through. It was terrible and all this. Now, I just want to say, and I pretty much messaged everyone back with a similar message that I did this so child stars in the next generation don't have to go through what we went through, that they feel like they can speak up if they see something that seems out of place, that they can make sure that they are comfortable with the wage that they are being paid in exchange for being humiliated and having to live up to this character for the rest of your life. Because it's like, if I only walk away with 5K, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that that's what it was. I had a little bit more than that, but it's gone now. but if I only walk away with 2,000-3,000, is that worth me never being able to work at a Macy's or any customer facing job, because now I don't want to be recognized and I'm anxious for the rest of my life that somebody gonna walk up to me and like, wasn't you that kid on All That? Is you rich? Like, nope, I'm not rich and I gotta explain this shit. Like, it may not be worth it, but we need to empower these kids to let them know, hey, what is coming down the pike if you do decide to get on television, and make sure the wage matches, you know, what you're gonna be put through for the rest of your life. So I'm okay. So thank you for everyone in the well wishes. I really did this for Amanda. I did this for the next generation. And, you know, also just, I ain't scared. I ain't scared, man. If they ask me, I'm going to just tell the truth, man. So, you know, everyone has their own agenda and their own self-interest. I'm not going to knock anyone that felt like they can participate or feel like they can't associate with me because I did participate. I ain't boycotting you. I ain't take you down. I'm just speaking up for what's right, because y'all know y'all didn't want to be in them damn tights. So don't lie.
I respect it. Nah, real talk. And honestly, we're going to end on with the last question that pretty much we got to, but just to close things up, I think pretty much what you said as far as your main message behind it, you know, payment and actually having a pathway to success after this is over, super important, because yeah, people obviously didn't really look at that. And I just want to say to a lot of people online, I saw people writing, oh, child abuse, it's like one of those, be more specific, because when you put in child abuse, the young black kid in me, even though I saw the documentary, thinking, ah, this kid got his ass beat with a pole, as opposed to what actually happened. And I think that's where you know what I mean, you really have to make sure you give the details, because even, you know, to all the people who did have their issues and whatnot, I hope that at some point they do get more of a clearer path and a choice to actually say exactly what was it. Because I said, great documentary, we saw a lot, but definitely still some unanswered questions. And fellas, you can add whatever you want to this, but I just wanted to ask, why do you think certain stars chose to, outside of obviously Amanda Bynes, chose just to not participate in this at all?
Yeah, that was interesting. And I'm gonna let y'all get to it, because I'm like, look, man, I know the stars who did do the doc series, I know that's not, they are not the only ones who feel this way. I know that for, I don't gotta be there to know that. So when I was watching it, y'all, I couldn't help but think, where are all the other people and why they chose not to do it? Like, and I wanted to ask you, Lee Boy, you don't have to say no names, bro. Why you think specific stars that you know for a fact should have done this shit with y'all, why do you think they didn't do it?
Look, and even before I get to that, I know they all mad about the residuals. And I know it ain't no way because, I mean, it's just an industry standard that when your work is played on television, that you should still continue to give. It just doesn't make sense to not have it. And I can tell you my management attempted to negotiate that, went nowhere, and we basically had to accept because it was that or saying no to the job. Like, and, you know, Nickelodeon did a good job at getting novices, people that were brand new to the industry. How could you say no to a regular series role? It's almost impossible. It would be dumb. You would probably be marked as difficult to work with just by saying no. So like either way, you're gonna face some scrutiny. And you know, I believe a lot of people didn't participate because they're holding on to a thread of being able to get back in the good graces of a Nickelodeon, a Viacom, an MTV, all these, this umbrella of television networks. And it could be other networks too, because they see, hey, they blew the whistle over there, they could blow the whistle on us. And they're just holding on to the the slim chance that they could get back in the industry. And I got sick and tired of, begging for jobs at auditions on a weekly basis. Now, if you want to call me up and offer me something, I'll be there, probably there, as long as the pay is right. As long as y'all ain't going to be able to show my shit into perpetuity without paying me. You know what I'm saying? The residuals got to be in that damn contract. But I really just believe that, people don't think it's over for them. They don't want to rub people the wrong way. And in case, an opportunity comes up and someone is in that room, somebody can push that button, they don't want to be on the wrong side. I think there's a whole other side to this, though, that you can be a part of by being a truth teller, by being yourself, which is why I choose to be a personality. I'm tired of acting like somebody else. I just want to be me. So I'm going to be me.
Bro, y'all can attest to this. Bro, we in a time and age, bro, where you can create your own. That's why you have ChildStar Central. That's why you have SplatCon. That's why you have 80s, 90s, and 2000s vibes. Dog, if motherfuckers would just decide to stick together, I don't give a fuck about no money. The money gonna come. All you gotta do is stick together and create. Don't hide your agendas. There's nothing wrong with having agendas. We all have them. But I'm clear with Matt and Lee Boy what my agendas are. I've told them my agenda from day one.
Straight up.
Because I'm a grown ass man and I feel like I owe that to them. Because they're choosing to do this with me. So, all you stars, man, stick together. Come up, get in a room together, a Zoom call or something, create something. It's not going to happen overnight, bro. But y'all got to stick together, stop with the hot agenda, stop with the weird shit, stop with the weird energy. Stick together, figure it out. This ain't, all right, we tried this, this didn't work. All right, we back at it again, though. We in a beautiful place, like to the point where you don't have to go to no network, bro. You can create your own. Man, what's the saying, y'all? Build and they will come.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I'm not famous at all. And even I know that. I don't understand why. It's frustrating, bro, because as a person who is a fan of all these people, it's not like the talent just went somewhere. Oh, you just lost it, right? You woke up one day, you hit 25 and the talent just left. That's how that shit worked? No, it's not. You still got the juice. You got to use it in the right way now, though. You it's kind of like when the Jordan or LeBron or Kobe get older. All right, I'm not dunking on everybody no more. Now I got to go to the low block and do my damage there.
A good point. To your point, some guys become a Jordan and Kobe, and I love this guy, but he's a prime example. Some guys become a Dwayne Wade, never learn how to shoot, got slow on defense, couldn't keep running with those. And I think that's the same type of mentality that comes with this, where it's like, it's hard.
But Matt, don't even Dwayne Wade start going to the low block and focus more on his mid game and stop crashing the rim so much. So maybe.
Or Derrick Rose might be a better.
Allen Iverson. Yeah.
I'll give you Derek Fisher just because he lasted so long and he literally couldn't keep up. And the only reason I say that is because I feel like some of them, like Lee Boy said, just having a spirit crushed at 12 years old when you were, you know what I mean? In your head, you was your first acting job at 9, 10, 11 years old.
That's okay. Well, Matt, I get that and I understand, but you got to get back up, bro.
I agree. It's just, you know what I mean? Just devil's advocate. I 100% agree. You have to get back up. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. Iverson was stubborn and refused to change his game, thinking he wasn't going to never slow down. And all of a sudden, he blinked, and he was a step and a half slower. And now you unplayable because you stopped the offense, and you're not efficient. You're not an efficient scorer. And it's not because you can't inconsistent. You just shoot a lot. So just, bro, you can't dunk on everybody no more, man. You got to go to the low block, bro. That's just where it is now. You're not 12 no more. You're 28. You're 30. You're 35. The talent is still there, bro. You just got to use it differently. You got to hunt different now. And I think they just need to stick together.
Yeah.
That's it. Stick together. Make some skits. Start writing some skits. Make a YouTube channel. Start creating original content. Start doing interviews. Start interviewing people. You, like you said, use your personality. People, Nickelodeon fans are so invested into the talent that I can honestly say, as your co-host Lee Boy, it's dope to do a podcast with you every week because you're not a kid no more. You're a grown-ass man. And people want to, okay, he's grown now. People want to see what the fuck going on. If I was famous or if I was a child star, I would take full advantage of that. Like, look, man, I'm not 12 no more. I don't got the cute, chubby face no more. But I'm still around. I still got the juice. And this is the 31-year-old version of Jamal. And I feel like Bow Wow had trouble adjusting to that. You're not small with the braids no more, bro. It's okay. That was a moment. That was a vibe. You was on fire, but that's not what it is no more, bro. So adjust, bro. That's how you evolve, and that's how you last. That's how you have a 20-year career like LeBron James or anybody, bro. It's in any field, bro. Adjust. Nick Cannon has adjusted.
100%.
Am I right or wrong?
Reinvent himself, yeah, like you said, it's adjusted.
He become a boss. He still does comedy, but he's created his own.
Absolutely.
That's it, bro.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, you said it too. We got to stick together. We got to stick together. So, y'all, make sure y'all get with me on SplatCon, SplatCon.com. Dan Snyder ain't going to be there. So, you ain't got to worry about that. He ain't going to pop up unless he want to. You want to hit me up? You know what, Dan? I appreciate the apology. You got to see. At the Dale Splacko, you want to see? He ain't fucking with me.
Y'all got to put him in that thing where you throw the ball at the thing and he falls in the pool.
We gonna slide your ass, bro. In fact, we gonna set your face up for some cum shots.
Right.
We gonna gook your ass. Shout out to Dan Snyder. I do appreciate his apology. I mean, I was getting to that earlier when I brought up the apology. I appreciate that. You know, I'm giving him grace. I think he made a lot of mistakes. He said he made a lot of mistakes and he owed a lot of people apology. I think it's even more nasty what he did to those people in the writer's room, probably. Right. And even writing the stuff that he did on the show because people was laughing at it. People wanted to see that every week on TV. Nickelodeon approved it. And that's what was getting the high ratings. Why would he stop? But what he was doing to those writers and the way he was treating people and creating a hostile work environment, the way he had kids second guessing themselves, the way he showed favoritism, none of that was getting ratings. So but he did apologize for that. And so, I'm not one to hold grudges. I can let it go. We said what we said. He was wrong. He should have apologized earlier, though. He didn't have to wait to after the documentary. Now he admitted to the shit. So we had to do all this. You know, it's like when you get an argument with your girl, I got to go crazy and cuss you out. And now you was like, oh, yeah, you was right. But now I'm the one that look crazy, right? So I'm the one that looked crazy in the damn documentary because you couldn't fess up to this shit in 2017 when they canceled your ass. You should have came out and apologized then. But other than that, you know what I'm saying? I ain't holding no grudges. I don't give a fuck about Dan Schneider like that. So you can keep doing your thing, Nickelodeon. Y'all can get your little chat GPT apology. Fix that up. And you know, I'm not opposed to working with Nickelodeon. I'm not boycotting y'all. There's just got to be certain strongholds in your contracts that you guys need to change for these child stars for the next generation. Y'all already did. My part is done. Y'all make sure y'all do the Lele's and Gabriel Nevaez and what's Dylan's and all them boys. Make sure they all straight. Keep their ass working and make them producers. Don't just let them go off to the wayside. So that's all.
It's so dope how you got new generations, bro. I always love that, man. Like, I used to be a Power Ranger fan when I was a kid. And I don't know if y'all were, but in the later seasons, every once in a while, they'd do a special episode where the Red Ranger from the second season of Pull Up, or I used to think that was dope. I'm like, oh shit, you know what I'm saying? Look, man, Tommy, stopping by this episode, bro. I just love the generational thing, bro, and it shows that everybody can be one big family if, like you said, stick together, man. Stop being so fucking selfish. Even though being selfish, everybody's selfish to an extent because you are responsible for yourself. But man, it's power in numbers, man. It's power in numbers. Don't ever underestimate your influence or what you can get done together, please. Because I swear to God, on my mama's grave, we ain't going nowhere.
It is.
Nope. Yeah. I'm gonna be famous. Y'all gonna be famous, and for years to come. And hopefully, there's gonna be people under us that we show how to do the ropes. Show whether it's podcasting, producing, or whatever in entertainment. So yeah, that's definitely what I'm hoping to leave my mark.
And if 80s, 90s, and if 80s, 90s, and 2000s vibe is the place that become that dominant force, then like what's the Bruce Lee saying, man? Be like water, man. Go with the flow. Go with the flow, big dog. That's a, well, man. Episode 127, fellas. How y'all feeling, man? How y'all feeling about this episode?
Hey, man, I got a whole, you know, I feel a little bit lighter. Got some stuff off my back, off my shoulders. Damn, shoulders again. I can't even say shoulders no more.
On purpose. I ain't gonna lie. I saw somebody cracking up. I swore it was intentional.
I got a brush of dirt off my shoulders and everything. In fact, look, that's the next reel coming up. Brush that damn dirty dick off the shoulder. Oh.
That's crazy.
Goddamn, Nickelodeon. Why y'all do me like that? That's my biggest fucking TikTok video now. It's me looking crazy out here. But nah, man, I'm feeling good. I feel a little bit lighter today. And so I'm just happy I was able to address everything right here, 80s, 90s, 2000 vibes. Make sure y'all continue to support, continue to listen. And man, I'm good. How you guys doing? Everything good? We done here?
Yeah, man, you know, I'm fanned out. You know what I'm saying? This is yeah. We need more episodes like Freaknik.com coming out tomorrow.
It is. We could get get some of this light off us. We could get straight to Freaknik. You know, we had our little moment. I'm done. I'm cool. We got our apology. Yes, that's what indeed. We came for. We got it.
Tag Freaknik in.
Man, by the time y'all listen to this, it will be out. So we'll definitely y'all tune in.
So fellas, man, tell them all your socials, all that. What you got planned, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So LeeBoyTV.com, aka LeonFryerson.com, SplatCon.com. We got a big announcement coming this week. We got two big announcements. One I already alluded to a couple times. We just waiting for that contract. Then y'all see it on the Instagram. The SplatCon is the Instagram. But yeah, you guys make sure you stay tuned in. Use our code VIBES10. for 10% off your tickets. Vibes 25 for $25 off our hotel package. Soon we will also have a direct link on our website so that you could just go ahead and book the hotel without the full package. But remember, you get a discounted VIP ticket if you do get that package off us. So there are some extra perks to that. And then, also look out for some of my recap or my responses to everything that has gone down. I believe I'm going to be on Access Hollywood. I made it put out a statement. The Daily Beast, I put out a statement. Hollywood Reporter, I've talked to some of these people. And then, of course, the That's Fucked Up podcast. So, yeah, check me out.
Hey. Dope. But like he said, y'all, first off, y'all can follow me at Real Matt Corbin on all platforms. But definitely make sure y'all go support SplatCon. Go to the website, like you said, use our code, and ask for people you want to see there. It's like Kevin Garnett once said, anything's possible. If y'all ask, they'll pay. And other than that, like I said, for my own, obviously, original material always coming. How did we miss that? You know, we're coming down to the end of the first season. Shout out to Jamal and company, because we've been killing it with that. $10,000. So, yeah. Stay tuned.
As always, follow me on Instagram, at Jamal Joseph Jermaine Adams. If you're sensitive, don't follow me. Nobody got time for that shit. But most importantly, follow us on Instagram at 80s, 90s, and 2000s vibes. Same on TikTok, same on Threads, same on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube, dog. And most importantly, when you listen to this podcast via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart Podcast, hit the like button, give us a 5-star rating review. We have a poll on Spotify, voting poll. Interact with the pie, man. It helps us grow when I do that. But most importantly, thank you, fellas. Another week in the bag, another episode in the bag. You know how we do.
Yeah, special episode. We're going to be right back with the normal agenda next week. So if you didn't enjoy, if you ain't got HBO and all that, you ain't see it. But you should have Amazon Prime, pretty much. I didn't even know it was over there.
Yes, everybody got it.
Make sure y'all watch it and then re-listen. Well, you already at the end now. But yeah, we're going to be back to the normal platform next
week. Yeah, and if y'all ain't like this episode, oh, well, make your own podcast.
There you go.
But this has been 80s, 90s, and 2000s Vibes, the podcast. I am Jamal.
Lee Boy.
Matt Corbin.
And we out.
Peace. Yes, sir.